السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته يا شيخ. السلام عليكم.
الرحمن، كيف الحال؟
الحمد لله يا شيخ.
إن الحمد لله، نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا. إنه من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. أما بعد، on these days our book is الداء والدواء by الإمام ابن القيم رحمه الله. He was أبو عبد الله Muhammad ibn Abi Bakr ibn Ayyub, but he became to be popularly called Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah. We'd explained severally that his father headed al-Madrasatul Jawziyyah, and he was the son. His father was Abu Bakr ibn Ayyub, who was Qayyim al-Madrasatul Jawziyyah. So he became called Ibn Qayyim al-Madrasat al-Jawziyyah. And in a very, very short form, he will be called Ibn al-Qayyim, the son of the principal. One day, a man approached him and asked him, begging him by Allah. He said, مَا تَقُولُ السَّادَةُ الْعُلَمَاءُ أئمة الدين رضي الله عنهم أجمعين في رجل ابتلي ببلية وعلم أنها إن استمرت به أفسدت عليه دنياه وآخرته. The man was asking this Imam رحمه الله, ما تقول السادة العلماء أئمة الدين. What is it that As-Sadatul Ulama, those who are our leaders, our scholars, A'immatul Deen, the heads of the people of the Deen, those who are in front as far as our religion is concerned, our scholars, what have they said? Radiyallahu anhum ajma'in. May Allah be pleased with all of them. What have they said? Fi rajulin ibtuliya bi baliyatin, regarding a man who was tried by a huge tribulation. He had a huge trial. This trial, alima annaha, the man is so convinced that in istamarrat bihi afsadat alayhi dunyahu wa akhiratahu. He is so convinced that this trial, if it continues with him, if it continues to afflict him, if he continues to suffer from that trial, afsadat alayhi dunyahu wa akhiratahu, that trial will destroy his dunya, and it will destroy his akhirah. His life will be destroyed. His hereafter will be put to destruction. وَقَدْ اجْتَهَدَ فِي دَفْعِهَا عَنْ نَفْسِهِ بِكُلِّ طَرِيقٍ. And this man, قَدْ اجْتَهَدَ فِي دَفْعِهَا, he had made serious, grave efforts, great efforts, فِي دَفْعِهَا, to put away that trial from himself. بِكُلِّ طَرِيق, he had employed every possible means that he knew he can employ. فَمَا تَزْدَادُ إِلَّا تَوَكُّدًا وَشِدَّةً. But the more he tried to remove that trial from himself, تَزْدَادُ تَوَكُّدًا وَشِدَّةً, the trial increased, the flames of the trial increased, the intensity, the heat of the trial also increased. فَمَا الْحِيلَةُ فِي دَفْعِهَا is asking this imam. So what is the way out to put away this trial, O Sheikh? وَمَا الطَّرِيقُ إِلَىٰ كَشْفِهَا? What is the means for me to follow so that I can remove this trial from myself? فَرَحِمَ اللَّهُ مَنْ أَعَانَ مُبْتَلَىٰ رَحِمَ اللَّهُ مَنْ أَعَانَ مُبْتَلًا. May Allah be compassionate and kind towards anybody who helps another person in trial. There are a lot of lessons in even the way this man is expressing the question. He said, رَحِمَ اللَّهُ مَنْ أَعَانَ مُبْتَلًا. May Allah be compassionate and kind with those who help people who are in trouble. Allahu fi auni al-abdi ma kana al-abdu fi auni akhih. He sent a reminder again from a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to encourage the imam to provide him answer. He said, Wallahu fi auni al-abd. Allah is regularly in help and support of a servant. Ma kan al-abd. In such a manner, and as long as that servant fi auni akhihi is also supportive and helpful to his brother. So Ikhwa, the man was in trouble. He knew that the trouble was going to destroy him. It will destroy his dunya. It will destroy his akhirah. And he had employed all the means that he can think of to put away that trial from himself. He has not been successful. So he ran to a learned person. Please help me. Help me. Wallahu fi auni al-abd. If you help me, Allah will help you. Ma kana al-abd fi auni akhi. The man said, Afduna ma'jurin. Please, I beg you in Allah's name, provide me a religious guide, ma'jurin. As you provide me that guidance, may Allah reward you. Rahimakumullah. May Allah show His mercy upon you. Wa radiya ankum. May Allah be pleased with you. Wa khatama lana wa lakum bi khair. May Allah grant us and you, O Shaykh. May Allah grant us goodness in the last and in the ends of our affairs. When we pass away, may it be upon goodness. Ikhwa, this was the question that led to the book that we are studying, Ad-Da'u wa-Dawa. And that's why another name for this book is Al-Jawabu al-Kafi liman sa'ala ani ad-dawa'i shafi. Al-Jawabu al-Kafi is sufficient response, a response of sufficiency liman sa'ala ani ad-dawa'i shafi. For the one, that response that is all sufficient, it is for a person. Who is that? Man sa'ala ani dawa ishafi. It is for that person who was asking about a dawa, a way out, a solution to his problem, a medicine to his disease. A shafi, the medicine that will bi'idhnillah provide cure to the ailment, provide support, provide help for this man out of his trials and out of his tribulation. This was the book that Al-Imam Ibn al-Qayyim dictated to his student, and it became the answer to that question. So each time people are in a trial, each time people are in tribulation, this book has been a means of goodness for them, bi'idhnillah, as a guide to live with the circumstance, to get out of the circumstance, by the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the book that we are studying. And Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, he started answering this man by giving him the first cure. What is the first cure? Hope. Hope. And that's why even politicians, when they find people in trouble and trial, they say they want to give them hope. So when a people are faced with trial, when a man is faced with a disease, when a person is in hardship, the first thing you make them feel is a sense of hope. So Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah firstly assured the man with statements from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that guarantees all of us. The Prophet said alayhi salatu wa sallam, ma anzala Allahu da'an illa anzala lahu shifa'an. Allah has not sent down any disease except that he has sent down anzala lahu, he has sent down for that disease shifa'an, a means of cure. Ikhwa, this is hope. Hope helps people when they heal. Hope will bring you a sense of coping with the difficulty. Hope will be bi'idhnillah, it will promote even the sustenance of that discuss this difficulty, how to be in it, how to handle yourself in it. And then it will make you feel that the disease, the trouble, the trial is just for a little time. And you will then become expectant and hopeful in Allah. This hope in Allah itself is a major act of worship. So the first thing Ibn al-Qayyim did was to give the man the hope. He said, from a statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that ma anzala Allahu da'an illa anzala lahu shifa'an. And he brought the various expressions of that hadith, that each time when there is a disease, there the cure is also available. In fact, he brought it in a fuller version when he said that inna Allaha lam yunzil da'an illa anzala lahu shifa'an. Allah has not sent down any ailment, any problem, any disease, any illness, illa anzala lahu shifa'an, except that he has sent down the appropriate cure, the appropriate relief, the appropriate medicine for that problem. The Prophet said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what remains is that alimahu man alimahu wa jahilahu man jahilahu. Alimahu man alimahu, those who know the cure, those who know the way out, they know the way out. So the way out may either be known, wajahilahu man jahilahu, or it may be unknown, but there's actually a way out. So ikhwa, note this point. Each time there is a problem, each time there is a disease, each time there is a hardship, keep it in mind, the way out is available. The only thing is that we don't know it. That is the reason we begin to ask experts. We begin to ask doctors. We begin to ask scholars. I am in this kind of a condition. How do I get out of this condition? I have this kind of a problem. How do I get out of this problem? I have this kind of an illness. You go to the hospital, you start asking the doctor. The doctor starts asking you about the details of the ailment. All of this makes us understand that there is no circumstance of discomfort and inconvenience anybody is, except that there is a way out. The issue is, what is that way out? It may be known to the people. It may not be known to immediate people. So we have a duty to start finding out who knows the way out to that problem. Who knows the way out to that problem? It is always like that. What is the way out? What is, there is actually a way out, but what is it? then we start, that is when we begin to ask people, we begin to seek advices, we begin to consult, we begin to go to a doctor, begin to try to discuss the matter with the scholars of the religion. This is the second major point that we have studied in this book. The third major point that we have studied in this book is that the problems, diseases, are always of three kinds. Those ones that are qalbiya. Ibn al-Qayyim said, rahimahullah, وَهَذَا يَعُمُّ أَدْوَاءَ الْقَلْبِ وَالْرُوحِ وَالْبَدَنِ وَأَدْوِيَتَهَا. These diseases that we talk about, these ailments, troubles, inconveniences, and discomfort, they are usually of three kinds. Those ones that are ruhiya, they have to do with our soul, ikhwa. They are just four in number. Only four things affect the soul, the ruh of the people. The first thing is al-massul jinni. Massul jinn, when the person is afflicted by a jinn, it affects his ruh. It is the affecting of the ruh that manifests in any other thing that the person does. Ikhwa, when a jinn comes in an affliction against an individual, the soul is affected. May Allah protect all of us. The second thing that affects the soul of an individual, that thing is called al-ayn, the evil eye. The evil eye looks at something. The soul of the person who is the victim becomes afflicted, and all his things become scattered. He was very brilliant. It then becomes difficult for him to solve 1 + 1 = 2. His soul has been touched by an evil eye. May Allah protect all of us. The man had a strong feet. He walks well. The evil eye is casted against him. He finds it difficult to even stand up. I have told us once about a situation where a bird flew into somebody. It happened in the Western world, not here in Nigeria. A bird flew into someone. She was walking on the street and a bird flew into him. The friend of the mother of the woman said this to me. So this is an affliction. Either that is from the aspects of Masu al-Jinn, or it is from the aspects of al-Ayn, evil eye. The third thing that affects, oh brothers, that affects the ruh, the soul of an individual, is as-sihr, sorcery, or witchcraft, or magic, sorcery. One man sits down somewhere and begins to conjure incantations to afflict the life of the next person. It is called as-sihr. We have discussed this. The fourth thing that affects an individual is hasadul hasid, either hasad. Someone is envious of you. He looks at you. He is not pleased with you. Something generates the hatred from his own mind. It comes as an arrow, and it afflicts the person who is the mahsud, the victim of hasad, the victim of jealousy. So let us note it. Troubles come regarding the soul of an individual from these four angles. From Masul Jinn, the jinn afflicts the person, or Al-Ain, the evil eye, or As-Sihr, witchcraft and sorcery, or Al-Hasad, when the person suffers from the evil of the jealousy and envy of another person. All of these, Allah protect us, because they will destroy the life of the individual. He will find himself not being himself again. All his affairs will become disrupted. May Allah protect all of us. The second type of ailments that we discussed بإذن الله here, الأمراض القلبية, those diseases that affect the قلب, they affect the heart, they affect the mind of an individual. One of them is الجهل, ignorance, إخوة. Ignorance is a disease, and it's a disease of the heart. The second one is ashakku, doubts. A person cannot even make dua, he's in doubt. He can't even make wudu, he can't make ghusl. Some people with doubt, have I washed my head? He's washing the feet. Ashakku will come. He'll start asking whether he has washed his face while he was already washing the feet. So that doubt continues like that. Likewise, al-ham wal-gham. An individual who have ham, anxiety troubles, anxiety trauma, is not able to sleep, he's anxious, has anxiety problems. Wal-gham. Likewise, he has his mind tightened in sadness. This huzn also comes under this. When an individual is always sad, it is from the diseases of the heart. From that is also al-ishq. Al-ishq is passionate love, is indecent love, indecent passionate love for a woman, or indecent passionate love for a man, as the case may be. He or she becomes troubled. Very, very troubled. It's a disease. From that is ranul ma'asiyah, the blackness that comes to the heart of a person. The heart becomes hardened. Why? Because of al-ma'asi. We refer to a verse of the Quran where Allah told us about that. Kalla bal rana ala kulubihim ma kanu yaksibun. It is called ranul ma'asiyah. The hard-heartedness that comes with a person's being very, very sinful. The third kind of disease and discomfort people have are diseases of the body. He has headache. The eyes are paining him. The ears are disturbing him. He has catarrh. He has diabetes. He has cancer. He has all of these physical diseases, high blood pressure, and all of these kinds of bodily diseases. Ikhwa, what we have learned in the second point is that all these diseases, whether they have to do with the ruh, whether they have to do with the qalb, whether they have to do with the badan, they all have cures. Ma anzala Allahu da'an illa anzala lahu shifa'an. All of these, whether it is sihr, whether it is ayn, whether it is masun al-jinn, whether it is hasad, whether it is jahal, and all of these, there's always a way out, ikhwa. May Allah protect all of us. The fourth point that we have learned in this book is that the first and the most all-encompassing solution, most all-inclusive, it is Al-Quran. Quran is a major, all-inclusive, comprehensive solution to all these problems. Whether the disease is qalbiyun or ruhiyun or badaniyun, the barakat, the blessings that comes with reading the Quran, is usually a means of cure for all kinds of diseases. Ikhwa, read Quran always. When there's a trial, when there's a difficulty, stick to reading the Quran. From the gains of your reading the Quran is that Allah will cure your disease. Allah told us in the Quran that this Quran, the Prophet should say to us that قُلْ هُوَ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا هُدًى وَشِفَاءً. This Quran, لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا هُدًى وَشِفَاءً. It is a means of guidance So when they are guided, they are protected from misguidance. Washifa'un. And it is a means of cure. Shifa'un. It comes with nakira. Cure for all kinds of diseases, ikhwa. Whether it is sihir, be reading Quran. Whether it is hasad, be reading the Quran. Whether it is al-ayn, the person is suffering from, wallahi, read Quran. When a person is suffering from all kinds of diseases, he should read the Quran. We remember the story of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, radiallahu anhu. Al-Imam ibn Sunni mentioned it in Amalul Yawmi wal Layla, that a man fell down. This man was disturbed by Massul Jinn. He has an affliction from the jinn. He fell down unconscious. He began to be paid attention to. People rushed towards him. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu went there. He read some things to the ears of that man, and the man stood up. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this thing happened when the Prophet was alive. وَقَالَ لَهُ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَعَلَى السَّلَامِ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him, مَا قَرَعْتَ فِي أُذُنِهِ. What have you read to the ears of that man? فقال Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, replied the Prophet, I read, أَفَحَسِبْتُمْ أَنَّمَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ عَبَثًا وَأَنَّكُمْ إِلَيْنَا لَا تُرْجَعُونَ فَتَعَالَى اللَّهُ الْمَلِكُ الْحَقُّ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ رَبُّ الْعَرْشِ الْكَرِيمِ وَمَنْ يَدْعُو مَعَ اللَّهِ إِلَهًا آخَرَ لَا بُرْهَانَ لَهُ بِهِ فَإِنَّمَا حِسَابُهُ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِ إِنَّهُ لَا يُفْلِحُ الظَّالِمُونَ وَقُلْ رَبِّ اغْفِرْ وَارْحَمْ وَأَنْتَ خَيْرُ الرَّاحِمِينَ. إخوة, I hope we would have memorized this portion of the Quran. Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu read this verse. فَأَفَاقَ الرَّجُلِ. The man who was hit by an affliction, he went down. When the man heard this verse, he stood up. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ. I swear by the one in whose hand is my soul. لَوْ أَنَّ رَجُلًا مُوْكِنًا قَرْعَ بِهَا عَلَى جَبَلٍ. If a man, مُوْكِنًا, who has yakin, certainty of iman, قَرْعَ بِهَا عَلَى جَبَلٍ, if he reads these verses upon a mountain, لَزَالَ, the mountain will move. The mountain will pulverize. Ikhwa, أَفَحَسِبْتُمْ أَنَّمَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ عَبَثَا. The man stood up. He was unconscious when Ibn Mas'ud read that verse by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That man stood up. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, one day he came into the house of Aisha. وَمْرَأَةً تُعَلِجُهَا. He found that a woman was providing her some care because Aisha was ill. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, عَلِجِيهَا بِكِتَابِ اللَّهِ. Kill her using the Quran. Use the Quran to kill her. So a major means of cure, ikhwa, is to be reading the Quran. Ibn al-Qayyim said, rahimahullah, فَلَمْ يُنزِلِ اللَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ شِفَاءً قَطُّ عَمَّ وَلَا أَنْفَعَ وَلَا أَعْظَمَ وَلَا أَنْجَعَ فِي إِزَالَةِ الدَّاءِ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ. Allah has not sent down, subhanahu wa ta'ala, مِنَ السَّمَاءِ شِفَاءً. He has not sent down from the heavens any kind of a cure. عَمْ, that is more all-encompassing. وَلَا أَنْفَعَ, that is more beneficial. وَأَعْظَمَ, that is very mighty and excellent. Wala anja'a, that is more effective and potent. Fi izalati da'i, in removing fear, in removing troubles, in removing illnesses, in removing discomfort, in removing problems, min al Quran, more than the Quran. So ikhwa, that man who was tried, the first recommendation of Ibn al-Qayyim to him was what? Tilawatul Quran, reading the Quran. Allah himself said, wa nunazzilu min al Quran ma huwa shifa'u wa rahmatun lil mu'minin. We have sent down in this Quran ma huwa shifa'u wa rahmatun lil mu'minin, something that is a means of cure, wa rahmatun, and mercy for the people of Iman. The Quran is a major means of seeking cure. Sometimes you look at your life, you say things are not smooth. Be reading the Quran. Life is this, be reading the Quran. Just keep reading the Quran. Allah will bring a means of ease for you. Bismillah. So this is the first major point, or the fourth major point we've studied in this book. However, sometimes people think that, oh, when you read the Quran, it is regarding jinn, it is regarding ayn, it is hasad, this, that. How about somebody who has diabetes too? Can you be reading the Quran? Yes, be reading the Quran. A man was stung by a scorpion in the time of the Prophet. And the reading of the Quran removed the venom. That's a bodily disease. Meaning that reciting the Quran, ikhwa, is also very, very beneficial to the diseases of the body. High blood pressure, diabetes, headache, cancer, read the Quran. And like I've always ever warned, it does not mean it is the only means of cure, but it is the major means of cure. Major means of cure. If you know another means of cure, employ it. Don't forget, the Prophet has told us that Allah has sent down cure for every disease. So the one you get in the hospital is also a means of cure. The one you read to yourself of the Quran is also a major means of cure. There is no one of them that contradicts the other, because they are both from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I hope that it is clear. The fifth point I like to call our attention to is what Al-Imam Ibn al-Qayyim said that we need to pay attention to. What is that? Is that anna al-adhkar wal-ayat wal-ad'iyat allati yustashfa biha wa yurqa biha hiya fi nafsiha nafi'atun shafiyatun. The verses of the Quran that you read, like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam read Suratul Falaq, Suratul Nas, like Abu Sa'id al-Khudri read Suratul Fatiha, and the venoms emerged from the person who was stung, and the likes of all of these, they are themselves like medicines. But it remains, he mentioned four things that are also connected to cure. Ibn al-Qayyim mentioned four things that are connected to cure. The first thing that is connected to cure is Qabulul Mahal. The place you are reading it itself, you are reading it to a man, or you are reading it to a woman. Medical doctors, we refer to that as that person's immune systems and tolerance. Can he accept the medicine? So you have the medicine, you have the medicine itself, the ruqya itself, the verse itself. You have Qabulul Mahal, the person you are reading it to. How does his body react to it? The third thing, you have Quwwatu Himmatil Fa'il wa Ta'thiruhu, the zeal and the passion of the person who is administering the medicine, what and his ability to actually create an impact. Here you are talking about your doctor and your pharmacist. What is their experience in terms of the use of the medicine itself? The fourth thing you have is mani'un awiyun yamna'u min athari dawa. Something that is very strong that will prevent that medicine from having a positive impact. Four things. The first one is the medicine itself. The second thing is what? Where you are dropping the medicine. Will it tolerate the medicine? The third thing is, do you have the person who has good experience, who is administering the medicine? The fourth thing is, do you have something that will be destroying the positive impact of that medicine? These four things, we should pay attention to it. So brothers, when you do ruqyah, don't just do ruqyah. Observe these four things. Your ruqyah is one thing. The verses of the Quran, they are themselves medicines. They kill and they are very effective. But there are interplay of other things that will affect the positive impact of your ruqyah. The second one is the person you are reading it to. Does he have acceptability for it? The third thing is, the you that you are reading it, who are you? How effective are you? Are you able to create impact? Just like, is the doctor experienced in handling the medicine and the patient? The fourth thing is, you cannot be treating diabetes and the man is still addicted to Coca-Cola and Sprite. What other things are those persons doing that will not make your ruqyah to be effective? You must put those things away. You cannot be fetching water into a drum when the drum has points of leakages under it. So these four things are important when you read Quran to find a cure for a disease or for a circumstance that you are not pleased with. I hope that we understand this fifth point. The Quran is shifa'un li kulli da'in. Allah said, wa nunazzilu min al-Quran ma huwa shifa'u wa rahmatun lil mu'minin. We give examples, Abu Sa'id al-Khudri. We give example, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. We give example, the Prophet himself. They read the Quran and people became cured. They read Quran, the situation changed for good. What are the factors involved? The first one is the Quran itself. The second one is you that you are reading it. Are you a person of potency? Very important. The third point is the person you are reading it to. Who is he or who is she? And the fourth thing that affects the ruqyah is other things the person is doing that will be bringing back and slowing down the positive impacts of ruqyah. I hope that these four points are clear. The sixth major point we have studied in this book is that Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, after telling us about the Quran as a cure, he said, وَكَذَلِكَ dua. Likewise, ad-dua, ikhwa dua. Ibn al-Qayyim said, rahimahullah, فَإِنَّهُ مِنْ أَقْوَى الْأَسْبَابِ فِي دَفْعِ الْمَكْرُوهِ وَحُصُولِ الْمَطْلُوبِ. Dua, مِنْ أَقْوَى الْأَسْبَابِ. It is from the strongest means of دَفْعِ الْمَكْرُوهِ, keeping away things we don't like. One of the biggest way of avoiding trouble, one of the biggest ways of keeping away from problems. Ikhwa, we are not talking about the problems that has come. We'll come back to that, but that the problem itself should not come. Daf'ul makruh, things we don't like, we don't like it to happen. One way to keep them away is dua. وحصول المطلوب. Likewise, one major way of bringing to ourselves and achieving المطلوب, our goals and our objective, is through dua. Dua, begging Allah, asking Allah, supplicating to Allah, invoking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So under this topic of dua, Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, we have about 4 or 5 lessons to learn about how to use dua to remove inconveniences and problems and troubles and illness, just like we learned about the Quran. We learned under it that 4 things we must pay attention to. I hope we remember. You, that you are reading the Quran, you must be someone who is a potent person yourself. The person you are reading it to should have acceptability. Then the medicine itself. The 4th thing is that you must keep away everything that will slow down the positive impact of your ruqyah. I hope that we understand that. Now we came to the 2nd medicine for problems. What is that? Ad-du'a. Ad-du'a, ikhwa du'a. Ad-du'a. Ibn al-Qayyim said, فَإِنَّهُ مِنْ أَقْوَى الْأَسْبَابِ فِي دَفْعِ الْمَكْرُوهِ وَحُصُولِ الْمَطْلُوبِ. Now we have, like we said, 4 lessons under du'a. The 1st group of lessons Ibn al-Qayyim told us about du'a is أَسْبَابُ تَخَلُّفِ أَثَرِ du'a. Those things that make the impact, the positive impact of your dua to be slowed down. You are making dua, but you are not seeing the impact. You are making dua, making dua, making dua. You are not seeing the impact. 4 things may be responsible. Make dua, make dua. What is the impact? 4 things may be responsible. He said, Rahimahullah. He said, Imma li du'afihi fi nafsihi. The 1st thing that will slow down the positive impacts of your dua is that li du'afi du'a fi nafsihi. The dua itself is weak. Weak dua. What does that mean to say weak dua? He explained it. Bi an yakuna du'ahan la yuhibbuhu Allah ta'ala lima fihi min al-udwan. That dua will be weak. Why? La yuhibbuhu Allah ta'ala. Allah does not like you to be asking for something like that. Why? Lima fihi min al-udwan. That dua contains aggression. How can you be making dua to be able to steal money? How can you be making dua to be able to commit zina? How can you be making dua that money in riba bank should increase? How can you be making dua that you should be able to disconnect the ties of kinship between yourself and your brothers or your sisters? How can a woman be making dua to oppress her husband? How can a man be making dua against his wife by way of oppression? So if it is a dua that Allah does not like, it is slowed down. The dua itself is a problem. Don't keep your mind that it will be accepted. So it does not make the dua to fly. Why? Allah does not like it. Why can you be asking Allah for a sin? Look at somebody asking Allah that he wants to steal money somewhere, government money, or any other monies in his care. And then he's asking, may Allah make it work. How will Allah make it work? Cave. So the 1st thing that slows down your dua, it does not make it get acceptance, is that dua is a dua of sin. The 2nd thing Ibn al-Qayyim mentioned is that wa imma lidha'fi al-qalbi wa maradihi bidh-dhunub. The 2nd thing that does not make your dua to fly is ضعف القلب, the mind that is making the dua itself is a weak mind. What makes it weak? It can be sick. What makes it sick? Zunub, sins. Sins make our minds to be sick. The man commits zina. The man tells lies. The man eats up riba. The man cheats the people. The man is very abusive. The woman is very disobedient to her husband. Very insulting. She can abuse anybody in the family. Things like this, if a person is like this, his mind will be weak. His mind will be weak. Sins weaken the mind. How lidwa fil imani fihi. Sometimes the iman is also weak. How li adami ikbalihi alallahi. Or that even when making that dua, that mind that is making the dua, it's a weak mind. It does not completely turn to Allah. It's just seeing dua as one of those options. Not a situation where he really needs to beg Allah and ask for his help. The first reason dua slows down, that dua itself, the request itself may be something that is sinful. The second reason why dua slows down is that the person, the mind making the dua, is a sick mind. The mind is sick. It is enmeshed and engrossed in sinfulness. The third thing Ibn al-Qayyim mentioned, he said, وَإِمَّا لِحُصُولِ الْمَانِعِ مِنَ الْإِجَابَةِ. There can be a mani'u that will prevent al-ijaba. There can be a preventive, like a wall. It will not allow that dua to fly. Like what? Aklul haram. When the man eats haram. Wadhulm. When the man is oppressive, is aggressive, he withholds the right of people. وَرَيْنِ الظُّنُوبِ عَلَى الْقُلُوبِ. When the mind is completely covered up in the darkness of sinfulness. وَسْتِيلَ الْغَفْلَةِ. Some people become consumed in gafla, obliviousness, nonchalance. Dua from a mind that is nonchalant, wasahw, is always playful, a playful mind. When people become so playful, their minds become weak. These things will prevent their dua from being answered. Further, later in the book, he mentioned a fourth one, and we have studied it. What is that? أن يستعجل العبد, that the servant becomes hasty. He is hasty about the dua. He is hasty. How does he become hasty about dua? The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, he said that لا يزال العبد بخير ما لم يستعجل. The individual will continue to be upon goodness as long as he has not become hasty. In the report of Abu Huraira, the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, يُسْتَجَابُ لِأَحَدِكُمْ مَا لَمْ يَعْجَلْ. Each of you will be granted his dua, مَا لَمْ يَعْجَلْ, as long as he has not become hasty. يَقُول, as long as he has not become hasty, saying that, دَعَوْتُ فَلَمْ يُسْتَجَبْلِ, I have been making dua, لَمْ يُسْتَجَبْلِ, and I have not been granted. Or that he says, قَدْ دَعَوْتُ رَبِّي فَلَمْ يَسْتَجِبْلِ, I have been calling Allah and Allah has not answered me. Four things destroy your dua, or they make them become very weak. The first one, ضَعْفُ dua. The dua itself is a sin. How can you be making dua to commit evil, to steal money, and things like this? That dua is not a valid one. The second one, doubtful called, your mind itself is a weak mind. You are covered up in sin. You are covered up in indecency. You play too much. You laugh too much. You have a weak mind, weak iman. Even when you make the dua, you are not directing your mind to Allah completely. The third point that makes your dua not to be answered is that you are a zalim. You have oppressed somebody and that person is praying against you. You have other things like that, like eating haram. When you eat haram, your duas will not be answered. The fourth one, you are hasty. I have been begging Allah, Allah has not answered. So sometimes when people ask for a solution to a problem, you say, make dua. Say, oh, we have been making dua, I've been making dua. As if to say, we have begged Allah and He has not answered. When you do like this, your dua is weak. Otherwise, la yazalu al-abdu bi khairin ma lam yasta'jil. Don't be in a haste when you make dua. This is the first lesson that Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah taught to us about dua. After telling us that dua is effective, he taught us how to make the dua properly. The second thing he did, rahimahullah, about dua is to emphasize dua for us. Takriru naf'i dua. To emphasize that dua is very important. Dua, he was emphasizing it. He said, rahimahullah, wad-du'a'u min anfa'i al-adwiya. Dua is one of the most effective form of medicine and cure. وَهُوَ عَدُوُّ الْبَلَىٰ. Dua is the enemy of trials. يُدَافِعُهُ وَيُعَالِجُهُ. It puts it away and it resolves it. وَيَمْنَعُ نُزُولَهُ. Dua prevents that trial should come down. وَيَرْفَعُهُ. It removes it when it already comes down. أَوْ يُخَفِّفُهُ إِذَا نَزَلَ. It removes it completely or it reduces negative effect. So dua is very, very important, ikhwa. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, adu'a'u yanfa'u mimma nazala wa mimma lam yanzil. Dua is effective from the troubles that have not come and from the troubles that have come. The trouble is already on the ground. Ikhwa, make dua. The trouble has not come. Beg Allah, never make it to come. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَعَلَيْكُمْ عِبَادَ اللَّهِ بِالدُّعَى. So, O servants of Allah, عَلَيْكُمْ بِالدُّعَى. Please stick to making dua. May Allah accept our dua. That was the second point we gained from Ibn al-Qayyim. He told us another thing. مَقَامَاتُ الدُّعَاءِ مَعَ الْبَلَىٰ. The conditions of dua vis-a-vis trials and problems. That is the third thing Ibn al-Qayyim taught us about dua. Maqamat, the kinds of things that happen between dua and bala. The first one, an yakuna aqwa min al-bala'i fayadfa'ahu. The dua can be stronger than the bala. So dua will be stronger than the trial. When the trial is coming, dua will push it away. Condition number one. If your dua is strong, when trial is coming, to throw it away. Like we say, ballistic missiles, 14 ballistic missiles were shot. When the defense system is very strong, it will put all the 14 missiles away. It will not allow it to have effect. But you know that has to do with that. Your own anti-missile must be hot, very strong. You can understand it better now. When your anti-missile is strong, stronger than a dome, iron dome, when it is stronger than it, then it will be very effective. So you have to be making sure that your anti-missiles are very strong. So as the trials are coming down, it will strike it away. It will pursue it and remove it. This is the best condition of dua. The second one is that an yakuna ad'afa min al-bala. Sometimes the defense system, your dua, is weaker than the trouble. The trouble is big. B2 bombers. Big trouble. Trouble is big, and so you are not, your defense system is weak, your dua is weak. So what is it that will happen? Ibn al-Qayyim said, فَيُصَابَ بِهِ الْعَبْدِ. That servant will be afflicted. Why? His dua is weak. His means of protecting himself is weak. The trial is stronger than it. So the individual will be afflicted. But he said, وَلَكِنْ قَدْ يُخَفِّفُهُ. But he will still gain something somehow. At least he too, he can fire missiles. And he will be afraid of his missiles. So they will first of all do some drama before they strike him. That one is still better than he does not have anything. They will just strike him. So يُخَفِّفُهُ وَإِنْ كَانَ ضَعِيفًا. Even though his air defense system, his dua is weak, he will still find one way of reducing the effect of the strike. It is better than they are striking you. They are striking you. You don't have any defense at all. At least you too, you can fire missiles. May Allah protect us. Even though the other power may be stronger than your missiles, you too, you shall have something. Wallahi, this is the condition between dua and bala. When the dua is weak, the first one, when the dua is strong, all the missiles will be thrown away. All the bala, all the trouble will be hit away. The third condition is an yataqa wa ma'a. The trial and the dua, they'll be struggling for impact. They'll be struggling for impact. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa-dua yanfa'u mimma nazala wa mimma lam yanzil. The dua is impactful. Before mimma nazala, when the trouble has come, wa mimma lam yanzil, and dua is effective even before the trouble comes. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa inna al-bala, sometimes the trouble, the problem will be coming from above. La yanzilu fayalqahu dua. It will be coming down, then dua will come and meet it. Fayatalijani ila yawm al-qiyamah. Both the dua, the anti-missile and the missile, they will be struggling ila yawm al-qiyamah. They will be struggling. The missile want to drop. Anti-missile say, no, you will not go. They will be struggling. Ya'atalijan, the Prophet said so. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That hadith occurs in the Mu'jam of Al-Imam al-Tabarani. It also occurs in the Mustadrak of Al-Imam Hakim and Al-Imam Muhammad Nasiruddin al-Alban. Al-Imam Hakim mentions it as sahih. Al-Imam al-Albani, rahimahullah, also mentions it, Hassan bi-Shawahid. So the hadith is Hassan, inshallah. What is that? Inna al-bala la yanzil. Trouble will be coming down. Problems will be coming to you as an individual. And then, fayalqahu dua. The dua you have been begging, Allah, don't allow this problem to come. Oh Allah, don't allow this problem to come. Dua will come and meet that problem. Fire at Alijan. The two of them will be struggling. Yakatilan, they will be fighting themselves. The trouble wants to descend. It has been sent to you. It is coming down. Dua you are making will prevent it. You'll be struggling. Ilayom il Kiyama. Until the day of Kiyama. So should we be making dua or not? Wallahi, many problems are hanging on many of us because of dua. You are asking for one thing, but that dua is doing another job. It is not allowing some trials that should have landed on you not to land on you. This is the third major thing Ibn al-Qayyim taught us about dua. The first thing he taught us about dua is those things that will not make your dua to be answered. There are four. The second thing he told us about dua is he emphasized dua. Emphasis on dua. The third thing he told us about dua is the three conditions between dua and trials. Then he opened one big door. What is that? He started telling us about shurutu qabuli dua, things that will make our dua to be effective. He told us a lot of things, about 14 things he told us. When we stick to these 14 things, your dua will be very, very, very strong. He even gave us the dua from the 14th one is that he told us, make this dua. He gave us 8 dua. He told us 14, 13 things. When you do them, your defense system of dua will be very, very strong. Your dua will be very strong. He now, on the 14th point, he now gave us 8 dua. These 8, if you do it, you have a defense system that cannot be penetrated by a bala. So, ikhwa, these are the summary of all that we have done. The 14 points, let me quickly read a few of them. Hudur al-qalb, the presence of mind when you are making dua. Musadafa to waqtil ijaba, when you make dua at a time that the Prophet promised us that if you make dua at that point, Allah will accept. How many times are they? 6. 6 periods. I hope we remember of the 6. Likewise, al-khushu'u fil qalb, your mind should be of conscious fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-inkisaru bayna yaday rabb, you should humble yourself before Allah. Istiqbal al-qibla, face the qibla when you make dua. And then you have tahara. And then you raise up your hand. You start your dua with alhamdulillah and praising Allah. Then salatu ala nabi. Then you start with asking for istighfar and tawbah. Then you begin to make the dua, make the dua, make the dua. Then you make tawassul ilallah. You beg Allah using his name. Ya dhal jalal wal ikram. Ya hayu ya qayyum. Things like this. Then number 13, you make sadaqah. When you make dua, Ibn al-Qayyim said, when he told us all of these, rahimahullah, if you make dua like this, he says, فَإِنَّ هَذَا الدُّعَى لَا يَكَادُ يُرَدُّ أَبَدًا. Your that dua will not be rejected. It will not be rejected. After he mentioned 13 things we need to do, I quickly mentioned them. The 14th one, he now said, especially if it comes with these expressions. He now taught us 8 expressions. We have studied those 8 expressions one after the other. 8 expressions he taught us, one after the other. So, bi-idhnillah, from our next class, we'll continue from where we stopped. Things that are also connected to dua. But so far, these are the things that Ibn al-Qayyim has taught us about how to make good dua, the dua that removes problems, the dua that is potent, the dua that is strong, the dua that is effective, the dua that removes bala. May Allah protect each and every one of us. I think we can stop here today, bi-idhnillah. We will continue our reading from the next class. This class is to refresh us regarding where we were coming from and where we have reached, inshallah. If there are one or two questions, we can quickly answer them. Bismillah, about the Rahman.
So this question is, assalamu alaikum. Please, what encouragement can be given to someone who have been actually been making dua for years but has not been resolved?
We have answered that question during the lesson. And we said that that thinking that I have been asking and it has not been resolved itself is one of the reasons why it would not be resolved. Continue to make your dua ikhwa. You are asking for a car, for example. You are asking Allah to remove headache, for example. And cancer is descending on you. The dua for headache, Allah is using it to prevent cancer from you. Is the dua answered or not? Is the dua answered or not? If you now stop that dua, because you are still having the headache, cancer will come and join it. I'm just giving us examples how these things work. Don't stop making dua. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, don't be in a haste regarding your dua. La yazalu al-abdu bi khairin ما لم يستعجل. The individual will continue to be upon goodness as long as he has not become hasty. They ask, what does it mean to say that somebody is hasty? He said, I should say, oh, the out to fall, I'm used to it. I've been begging Allah and it has not been given to me. Ikhwa, it has been given to you much more than you are asking. Wallahi, you have gotten it. So if you stop to her, you add to your problems. In fact, Shaitan will be laughing at you if you stop making dua. Because the exact thing you are asking for has not been given to you. What you are asking for is far lesser than what you are gaining. You now stop dua. Ibn Qayyim gave an example. He says it's like this, a farmer who is farming. It remains a few days for his seeds to emerge and grow up in the on the earth. He now completely removes, scattered the whole farm. Why? I have put this seed all these days inside the earth and it has not come up. He destroyed it by his own hands. So Ikhwa, don't stop making dua. Don't say I have been making dua, it has not been answered. No, Allah, it has always been answered. It has always been answered. It has always been answered. In fact, from the symbols that it has been answered is that you have been continuing to make it. So continue to make your dua. Fa'alaykum ibadallahi bidua. Continue, don't stop. The Prophet himself, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he had a condition and he was making dua of it. Our mother Aisha radiallahu anha said, fada'a, thumma da'a, thumma da'a. Prophet made dua, made dua, made dua. If you read those hadiths, you see it was a period of 6 months. 6 months. Then Allah revealed Surah Al-Falaq and Surah Al-Nas. By the next day, he was killed. He did not stop making dua. So don't stop making dua. Don't forget the similitude that I gave you. Take, for example, that you are making dua for headache. And the trial of cancer was coming down. Allah uses the dua for headache to remove your cancer. You are here, a miskin, saying that, oh, my dua has not been answered. Has your dua been answered or not, O servant of Allah? The dua has been answered. It remains for you to understand. I beg you in Allah's name, don't stop your dua. If you stop the dua, your condition will be worse. May Allah protect all of us. Now.
Jazakallah khairan, Shaykh.
Ameen. Wa akum. Wa antum. Fa jazakallah khairan.
Another question is, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Should one make the intention for relief with the ailments when we want to read the Quran?
Yes, when you read Quran, if it is about an ailment, keep it in mind. You are reading the Quran, oh Allah, grant me Shifa. Grant me Shifa. Ibn al-Qayyim gave that example. When he came for Hajj, he was ill. He couldn't find a doctor. He said he resorted to Surah Al-Fatiha. He was reciting Surah Al-Fatiha. And Allah made it a means of cure for his ailment. So when you read the Quran, keep it in mind that Allah, cure me from my ailment. Allah, grant me sound health. Read Surah Al-Fatiha. Read Quran. Mabalak Nas, if it is protection, beg Allah to protect you. Read Surah Al-Fatiha. Read Surah Al-Nas. And other places in the Quran. So when you read the Quran, keep it in mind that you are reading it so that Allah can cure you from that disease. I hope that it is clear. I mean, you have one more question or we can call it a day here today.
كان كواليتي دي.
Okay, inshallah. In Allah, we return to class fully in the next class, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.